My Wrangler jeans from Walmart are legit my favorite go-to pants. They got that slim cut that's always fresh for going out.
Hey, what's up?
They're durable enough, even for my shift.
Order up!
And stretchy enough for when I want to kick back and chill with a movie. So basically, they can do it all, and on my budget. I mean, come on. You really can't beat all that. Shop your Wrangler pants at Walmart.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're enjoying this podcast, be sure to check out thebuffalofanatics.com, where you'll find unique digital content about the Buffalo Bills and articles about anything from schemes, game planning, personnel moves, all the way to comedy and even fan fiction. You can find Buffalo Fanatics content on all major social media platforms. Where else would you rather be? Let's go, Bills.
Have you played daily fantasy sports and had no idea what you're doing? Have you set your lineups not knowing how to fully optimize it? Draft Dashboard's Daily Fantasy Sports Optimizer saves you a ton of research and time building optimized, winning daily fantasy sports lineups. Draft Dashboard Daily Fantasy Tools show players with the best value, optimal stats, defensive matchups, and so much more. Use Draft Dashboard's Daily Fantasy Sports Lineup Optimizer for just $1 and skyrocket your daily fantasy success playing at sites like DraftKings and FanDuel. Works with NFL, NBA, MLB, and NHL. Just go to DraftDashboard.net and fully optimize your lineups for just $1. Go to DraftDashboard.net today.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Overreaction Sports Podcast. I am your host, Joe Miller, and you can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. It is so good to have you. It is especially exciting to have all of you who are potentially listening to me for the very first time. So as I often say, wherever this podcast finds you, if it finds you in the car, around a cup of coffee, or at the gym with some AirPods on, let me just say welcome. I am very, very much excited that you are joining me for this show. Again, this is the Overreaction Sports Podcast. And as I ask often, how are you feeling? We are not officially into the off season, but the off season has begun for our beloved Buffalo Bills. And where does this episode find you right now? Do you find yourself still hopeful for next season, excited? Or do you find yourself with just recent news that's come out in regards to whether it's, you know, Jordan Phillips or Shaq Lawson or whoever else? Do you find yourself waning a little bit? You know, when you see the list of potential free agents, and there was a list that came out today. Let me see if I can find it here on my laptop real quick. As far as free agents who are, you know, potentially skill players, right? Now, I'm not going to mention the quarterbacks, but running backs. It's an interesting list of running backs who are available via free agency this offseason, at least right now. Obviously, you know, their teams could tender them and they could sign them. Melvin Gordon. I don't think Derrick Henry's getting away. I think Melvin Gordon might be available. Kareem Hunt, Kenyon Drake, Jordan Howard, Austin Eckler. So the Chargers are in an interesting situation. Both of their running backs are actually free agents. Matt Breida, Carlos Hyde, Lamar Miller. Wide receivers, Amari Cooper, A.J. Green, who is the guy that I want. I want A.J. Green. Don't get me wrong, I'm going to take Amari Cooper if I can get him. Larry Fitzgerald is probably another guy if the Cardinals were to let him go or to let him walk out the door. He's a guy that I wouldn't mind taking on a one-year thing, right? Emmanuel Sanders, Breshad Perriman. I want nothing to do with Robbie Anderson. Nothing. Devin Funchess. You know what? I like Randall Cobb. And it might be the fantasy football guy in me as to why I like Randall Cobb, but I've always kind of liked Randall Cobb. Maybe it's his eyes. The man's got, come on, let's be honest. The man's got some beautiful eyes. Philip Dorsett rounds out that list. Tight ends, Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, Eric Ebron. I want nothing to do with Eric Ebron. Tyler Eifert is an interesting choice, although we have one injury-prone Bengals tight end already. Darren Fells and Jacob Hollister. So how does, where is this offseason, keeping in mind that the offseason has not officially started, the Super Bowl has not happened, but where is this current lull finding you? How is it shaping up for you? Where are you emotionally? For me, I can tell you that I'm still just as hopeful for next year as I was at the beginning of this season. To me, this season was not about this season. This season, 2019, was about progress, was about taking that next step, was about the process, trusting the process, which I did. We talk a lot on the show about expectations. For those of you that are tuning in for the very first time, who have either never heard my voice before or who have just heard me on some sort of a preview thing, a video, one of those preview things that I post, we talk a lot on this show about expectations. Because frankly, for me, if I have to be honest with you, I can't have an overreaction show where we talk about overreacting to things. I can't have an overreaction show unless, you know, we've set proper expectations or unless we're at least coming back to what our expectations were before all of this began. So my expectations at the beginning of the 2019 season were 9-7. I wanted to see progress from Josh Allen, which we saw. I wanted to see some progress on the offense, which we saw. And I expected this defense to be good, which it was. I very much wanted to see a lot better from our special teams, and we did. So I said at the beginning of this year, I said that 9-7 is my prediction. And if we go 10-6, that would be amazing. And if we made the playoffs, it would be gravy. And lo and behold, we made the playoffs. And it was gravy. It wasn't the outcome that I wanted. And normally I spend this time at the beginning of the show talking about the story of last week's game. And obviously there wasn't a game this last week. So now we're just kind of in this awkward position of football still going on. Teams in the playoffs that we should have beaten, could have beaten, had every opportunity to beat, or potentially probably could play pretty well against. Obviously the Texans just played a very hard-fought game against the Chiefs, and it was a pretty incredible game. It went back and forth, and the momentum swings back and forth, and then the Chiefs ending up, you know, dropping a 50-burger on the Texans. And let's be honest, as much as our 16-0 or 13-0, whatever it was, 16-0 lead that evaporated is nothing compared to the 24-0 lead that evaporated on the Texans. But how are you feeling? How is this podcast finding you? I hope it's finding you well. I hope that you are encouraged. I hope that you are still excited. This is going to be, in my opinion, a fun offseason. And for a lot of reasons. And one of those reasons for me that this offseason is going to be fun is because some exciting things have happened to me and this podcast. We have signed on and have connected to the Buffalo Fanatics gang and the Buffalo Fanatics network. And it's exciting for me to announce to everybody that we here, Overreaction Sports, are a part of that team now. So I just want to say thank you to Kingpin and to Rico and to everybody that made it possible for me to join that network. I'm a guy that pretty much grew up as a networker. Networking for me is one of those fun things that I like to do. I like to be part of a team. I don't like being out on an island by myself. I started this podcast around, the bye week, right around the bye week of this past year. And basically it was just an opportunity for me to network, to connect, to feel what everybody else was feeling kind of together at the same time as Bills Mafia. And it has been every bit of that. And it has been a fun, exciting ride. And it's just great to be a part of everything that's going on. And I get the opportunity to talk to you guys, and the platform has gotten a little bit bigger, but I'm going to be the same Joe. So if I had to distinguish or to describe myself, I would just tell you that I'm basically the common man. I'm the common fan, and I'm just glad to be sitting here talking to you, and I'm excited to have you guys listening. But I'm really interested in how we're feeling. A couple days ago, I put out a tweet, and my tweet basically said this: "Hey, Bills Mafia, a little help for my next episode," which we're in the middle of. "Comment me the single most important thing the Bills need to do, and briefly why, in this offseason to ensure that we remain legit contenders in 2020. And then I said I'll be reading your tweets on the show. And here we are. First one comes from X Alphabet Soup at Drowning Pool 86. He simply says, "Develop Allen's long ball accuracy." And for me, we've talked a lot about this, right? So for me, I think personally, and you know, what I think and feel is, you know, with a quarter, will get you on a bus, right? You know, for me, I think the biggest problem that Josh Allen has with his long ball is his launch angle. I think Josh Allen's got a problem with his launch angle. I think if he begins to rainbow those balls in there, they fall into the pocket versus just out shooting and out gunning everybody. But that's just me. My buddy Rick at the Rick US 18. He says, "Find an offensive identity and hit it hard." And this is something I think we can all agree on, that the Bills offense lacked all season long. There, you know, I joked a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago when Josh Allen came out and said that, you know, our offensive identity is the do whatever it takes offense. And I quipped because that's not an identity. Do whatever it takes is not an identity. There's no way you can go into a game, you know, with the aspect of we're going to do whatever it takes, because I think that every offense probably feels that way. So I laughed at that. I thought that was pretty funny. But there's definitely something to be said for identifying who we're going to be and how we're going to function as an offense going forward. And as Rick said, you know, hit it hard. Joey V at Joey V 2988. "Help Josh Allen's game. Josh is going to be great, but he needs to work on getting the ball out quick and on his long ball accuracy as well. So the defense is spread out. I personally would love it if Josh had a 350-yard passing game, but 85% of those passes were for 5 yards. He brings up a good point. Joey, you bring up a really good point. And the really good point for me that you're bringing up is the fact that this is something that Josh Allen can do. Josh Allen in the short, quick passing game is not something that's like, oh man, we're asking a lot of that kid. We saw him do this year. We saw him do it quite a bit. It seemed like every single time, and I've mentioned this on the show in the past, it seemed like every single time the Bills had to go down the field, had to run down the field, they would flip a switch. And they would start doing the 3 steps and fire, 5 steps and fire thing. And they'd start working the underneath and the taking what the defense gives you stuff. And they would march right down the field and score. And then the next game would come out. And for some reason, they're back into this whole long developing plays, waiting for stuff to happen. And Josh Allen's in trouble in the pocket because the rush is getting to him. So you're onto something. But I don't think that what you're onto is something that we haven't seen. I think this is potentially who Josh Allen should be right now. My buddy Spence at J Spence the King. "Resign Spain." I'm on board with that. This man has to stay. Resign Spain and sign another boss for the line. If we don't keep getting better on our line, it won't matter what wide receiver we get or what running back we get to pair with Singletary. He's absolutely right. I'm totally on board. And it's funny because I think I could probably make an argument for not re-signing Spain. If the plan is to not re-sign Spain, move Feliciano to the left or Cody Ford to the left guard position, and then find a real right tackle, I think potentially that could work and we could save some money. Spain was a monster this year, did not give up a sack until the Texans game, and what an awful sack it was that he gave up. I could make an argument both ways. I could make an argument to keep Spain, and I think it could be, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It could potentially be vital to keep him. Unless the plan is to move Feliciano to left guard or Ford to left guard, and then move somebody into the right guard and then, you know, draft a right tackle or go find a right tackle in free agency. It's right there with you, Spence. Love you, dude. The Renaissance Man at Bills Fan Diehard. Get a certified legit number one wideout that has the height to make contested catches. We need our Julio, Allen, Thomas, Metcalf, Evans, et cetera, et cetera. To me, this is a priority. So, you know, I had a great takeaway about Josh Allen in that Texans game, and it was because he showed something that we haven't necessarily seen him show or do previous, which was, you know, with Duke Williams in the game, there's a trust level. There was something there between him and Duke that we hadn't necessarily seen from him before, and it was essentially he was willing to throw the ball at Duke with a defender draped on him. There's a trust level. Josh has a trust in Duke Williams that he does not have with John Brown or Cole Beasley. And I agree with that. And it was funny because my mentions totally began to fill up with legit wide receivers. At K-Trip 1969, invest in the wide receiver position. Get a tier two wide receiver free agent with size and experience and draft a wide receiver in the first round. Mike Pittman Jr. is my favorite. Continue to build the O-line at right tackle. Move forward to guard. Get an impact edge rusher. The thing I'm going to touch here is the impact edge rusher thing. I don't know where you're at with just the news that's been coming out about, obviously, you know, Bruce Nolan wrote an article talking about how he wouldn't spend his money on Jordan Phillips, and Brandon Bean came out and he basically said that Jordan's going to get to test the free agent market, which is fine. You know, as a defensive tackle, we've got Harrison Phillips coming back. Ed Oliver is turning into something pretty great. But the intriguing part is the Shaq Lawson piece. And I've been pretty open on Twitter just about not being interested in re-signing Shaq Lawson. And part of that reason is because the Bills didn't pick up his fifth-year option. And Shaq has come out since then and said that motivated me. The Bills not picking up my fifth-year option made me want to prove to them that they should keep me. Well, for me, I don't know what that does in regards to if I back the money truck up to your house and like throw $60 or $70 million at you. I don't know that the motivation's still there. So I think that's a risk for me. I also have a little bit of trouble throwing that kind of money at rotational players, and Shaq Lawson is a rotational player. I know that I've got pretty good feeling, as I think all of you guys do, that Trent Murphy's not going to be on this football team next year, and I'm not going to be upset about it. So now we're down potentially two edge rushers. Jerry Hughes, as much as he is a high-motor guy and is always going after it, and I'll be honest with you, I feel that Jerry Hughes is held more than probably any other linebacker/defensive end in the NFL. You know, Jerry Hughes isn't getting any younger. So we definitely need an impact edge rusher. There's some guys out there. Jadeveon Clowney's out there, and I don't know how you feel about Jadeveon Clowney, some other guys. So I'm in agreement. I don't know that you're going to draft a guy. We definitely only have one first round pick, so we're not drafting a first round wide receiver and a first round edge rusher and a first round tackle. So that might come down to best player available. But that edge piece is big. Super big. At Rob Johnson Pod. Invest in a wide receiver early in the draft, Higgins, Ruggs, Chenault, to give Josh Allen a legit deep threat target. It's right there. I think everybody's feeling the same way. At Witty Sports 716, top priority would be a stud edge presence, someone who can get double-digit sacks year in and year out, who opposing coaches have to tailor game plans around. Maybe look for that untapped talent a la Shaq Barrett on the market or via trade, much like when we brought Hughes in. I don't want to say that it's a once in a lifetime deal, because obviously, you know, we got Biscuit through a trade and there's been some other trades, but that Hughes deal, that doesn't come around too often at all. Next one, at @B_LowCity10, Victor. Wide receiver is the obvious answer here. And I think it is for me too. The more that these stack up, I think wide receiver is the answer. There's an aspect for me that I need to know what I've got in Josh Allen. I have been very vocal as well about saying that we're not going to know who Josh Allen is until probably week 8 of next year. I don't think we know by week 8 of next year if this wide receiver core stays the same. We've got to find a guy that Josh is going to trust, can trust, will trust, to put in those tight contested balls, a guy that's going to come down with the football. That's just how I feel. So he says again, wide receiver is the obvious answer here. For reasons I should not have to explain, I agree with him, with Victor. But to change it up, I'm going to say a legit edge presence. So here it is again. It seems like we've got a pattern, right? We've got a theme. Wide receiver, edge rusher. Someone that can really get after the quarterback and generate sacks. Bills Mafia, at Bills Mafia, 111. Improve their offensive production. Amen, brother. Improve their offensive production. What else do you need to say? That's pretty much it. At Blodgett Timothy, Timothy Biz, become more consistent, resign our own, and hit on the draft. And that's an interesting point. In the Bean and McDermott era, we have been, I want to say lucky, right? But I don't want to say lucky. I want to say they've been good. Like, this team has been very, very good at finding prospects, at drafting in particular. I mean, this draft alone, the 2018 draft, like, they've just done very, very good. So I think that the whole hit on the draft is probably going to happen again. I mean, it's a law of averages, but, you know, for me, if I've got confidence in anybody, it's this squad, it's this team, it's this, you know, it's Bean and his guys. They're good at what they do. At Chris Wells, 73, C-Dub. A tie for him, replacing Lorenzo Alexander at linebacker and adding a legit number two cornerback. And that's something that we haven't talked a whole lot about. I heard somebody on one of the shows the other day talk about how what hurt us in the Texans game was the fact that, like, during the Jets game, some of our starters got hurt, and he was particularly talking about Levi Wallace. And I am not a Levi Wallace fan. I think for me, by and large, Levi Wallace is a little bit of, he's not an asset, right? I mean, he's a little bit of a liability out there on that corner. He's probably got the most body tackles for guys that didn't get tackled, where he makes the dive at them and tries to slam into them with his body and then just deflects off them or reflects off them, and the guy keeps running. So I think number two cornerback is an interesting point. So yeah, he says replacing Zoe, which is a big loss. You know, we're going to miss Zoe and a number two cornerback, obviously. At Ryan Hickman, 84. This is tough. And I'm going to get a lot of crap for this. We need a wide receiver and possibly, here it comes, a new offensive coordinator. I'm just saying, don't shoot me. And he puts laugh out loud. That's the great debate, right? And that's a great debate kind of leading into what I'm going to be talking about next, which is these words, right? Execution and consistency and culture and, you know, momentum. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting for sure. At Josh Allen's, or I should say at Allen's underscore Josh. This is Josh Allen Shorts. Pay Trey White whatever he thinks is fair. 10 years, $170 million. Book it. I'm going to be honest with you. I said it. I called for it a couple weeks ago. There's no reason the Bills can't extend Trey White right now, and they probably should. And the reason that the Bills should extend Trey White right now is because he's never going to be cheaper than he is right now. It's going to cost the Bills less money to sign him right now than it will at any other time. The last one I got for you, it looks like it says, at the Chris T. Myers. It's fluent in sarcasm. At the Chris T. Myers. Add talent all the way around. Not one single spot will do it. Grab a tight end, wide receiver, running back, defensive end, linebacker, and free agency. I don't know if we've got enough cap space for all of that. That was me, by the way, not him. Doesn't have to be their top tier, or doesn't have to be the top tier guy, but add all around talent in each position. It's good stuff. Thank you guys for interacting with me. Thank you guys for talking to me. I think my takeaways for all of that is probably in the exact same spot that a lot of you guys are at. Wide receiver. Got to have a wide receiver. Next for me is going to be edge rusher. The Bills need somebody that's going to play more than a third of the snaps every game, probably up into that 60%, if not a little more, that's going to be able to get consistent pass rushes on the opposing team's quarterback. Trent Murphy is not the guy. I don't think Shaq Lawson is the guy. I don't know where you feel, how you feel. There's a lot of people out there that like Shaq Lawson. For me, the biggest place that we're going to miss Shaq Lawson is going to be in the run game. But even with that, if you saw Shaq's tweet this past week, it was basically a show me the money tweet. So if you think or feel that Shaq Lawson's words, and as much as he has said that he loves being a Buffalo Bill, he loves being here, he loves being in Buffalo, he loves these coaches, he loves this staff. If you think that his love for Bills Mafia is somehow going to translate into a hometown discount, I think we can probably think again. So Trent Murphy gone, I think. Shaq Lawson gone. The kid that they just drafted, the sixth round pick, is it Johnson, Daryl Johnson? He looks good. He flashed in preseason. He flashed a couple times during the season. It'll be interesting to see where year two puts him. But yeah, wide receiver is at the top of my list. If I had an opinion, if I was making decisions, if I was in charge of anything at One Bills Drive, and I'm not, for me, this offseason would be going and getting AJ Green. And I know there's a lot of people out there that don't like that idea just because AJ Green has a little bit of a health issue. I'm not going to go as far as to say that he's made of glass, but he has a little bit of trouble recently staying on the field. He missed the entire 2019 season. We don't know if it's because of injury or if part of it is because he's disgruntled. He wants a new contract. But for me, you go get a guy like AJ Green. Maybe Larry Fitzgerald fits that idea if the Cardinals let him walk out the door and Larry wants to keep playing. But for me, you get AJ Green and you draft the number one wide receiver. And you allow AJ Green to do with that number one wide receiver what Frank Gore did for Devin Singletary. Show him the ropes. Show him how to be a pro. Show him how to get open. Show him how to run routes in the NFL. Show him how to build trust with his quarterback, because there's no doubt that Andy Dalton from day one trusted AJ Green. And if AJ Green does, if he gets through the 2020 campaign and doesn't get hurt, you basically won the lottery, in my opinion. And if he gets hurt, hopefully he gets hurt mid-season later on and we're able to leverage or lean on that number one wide receiver, the guy that we drafted, if we take him in the first round or the second round or wherever we take him. Wide receiver for me is one of the, if not the most important position to fill. Edge rusher for me is probably number two. Tackle would be number three. Cornerback number four. And we're going to have to do something about Lorenzo Alexander. The good thing about all of these needs that we have is we have 9 draft picks. We have a front office that has shown the ability to draft well. We also have $90 million to spend. Now, obviously, a lot of that cap space, some of that cap space could potentially be spent in re-signing our own. I don't know if they're going to. They could pay Matt Milano this offseason. They could pay Trey White this offseason. There's a lot of guys that they could throw money at and wrap up for the next 4, 5, 6 years, which is severely going to eat into that number, that $90 million. Or they might throw it all to the wind and say, you know what, we put in front of the Pegulas a 4-year plan. This is year 4. We've got a quarterback up and coming coming up in this league who has shown progression. We need him to take the next step. I'm not saying that they're in a show me situation, but they might feel like their backs are not against the wall, but their feet are to the fire a little bit. And in year 4, the Pegulas want to see more than just a playoff appearance. Sean McDermott right now is a head coach who has 2 playoff losses. 2. It's the better part of a miracle. There's no question that getting to the playoffs in his first year with the team that he had, completely gutting the team in year 2, and then making the playoffs in year 3 is remarkable. But let's not forget, let's always remember that coaches are judged by playoff wins. You never hear about the quarterback who has 7 playoff wins. You never hear about the wide receiver who has 5 playoff appearances and 3 playoff losses. You never hear about the defensive end that went to the playoffs 9 times and won 8 of them. playoffs is a head coach stat. And I can promise you that McDermott does not, he's going to talk about, he's going to say all the right things. He's going to tell you that the goal is always to make the Super Bowl. The goal, there's only one goal, and a championship is the goal, and that's the goal that every team, every good team sets. They've just changed out all the banners in the locker room to, or I should say from, playoff caliber to championship caliber. What does that tell you? There's a goal. But aside from coach speak and what he's going to say in the media as the offseason progresses and we get into OTAs and the draft comes around and free agency opens up, he's going to tell you that obviously the Super Bowl is the goal. What we can't judge, what we don't know, is how much pressure he is feeling. Does he feel like if they make the playoffs one more time and get bounced in the first round, that there's going to be a stigma attached to him? You can think that he doesn't think that way at all, but these guys think this stuff. And they react and they respond and they coach certain ways and they go get certain guys based upon labels being put on them. I would love to think that Sean McDermott is impervious to baggage as it pertains to labels, but I don't know Sean McDermott. He might not be. And if he's not, are we looking at an offseason where they're going to throw caution to the wind? They're going to take that $90 million. They're going to spend it to go get every piece that they're missing. Pray to God that Josh Allen becomes the guy that we want him to be, that we believe he's going to be. And they make a real run at the Super Bowl because it's year four of a four-year plan. You take the nine draft picks you have, you take the best players available or try to fill needs. You know what? If you fill the needs in free agency, you don't have to draft for need. You can draft the best player available. There's a huge decision coming up with Matt Milano. There's a huge decision coming up with Trey White. And let's keep in mind, this is an organization, albeit with new ownership, that has not kept an elite cornerback that they have drafted, maybe ever. I don't remember the last one that they have re-signed. Go all the way back to Antoine Winfield, Nate Clements, Stephon Gilmore. Trey White's the next guy up. I think McGee, right? McGee re-signed, got a second contract from the Bills, but we're talking about a fourth-round draft pick in Terrence McGee, who also, by the way, was one of the best kick returners in the NFL. So it's going to be very interesting what happens this offseason. It's an exciting time, and we're going to have a lot to talk about. We're going to have a lot to overreact to. But I promised you guys in a little bit of a teaser tweet that I was going to talk about four words. And my misunderstanding as to why two of them are important and seem to mean a lot to people and two of them don't. The words are momentum culture, execution, and consistency. And I'm going to be honest with you just for a second. As I made my notes and I put my notes together for this show, I've got way too much content. I could probably break these four things down in four episodes and they'd all be about 45 minutes long. And I'm not sure that you guys would want to hear it or that you would even like stick with me on it. It'd get to the point where it was just like, okay, enough of this. But it's pretty clear that in Buffalo sports media and around Buffalo circles as it pertains to Bills content, that certain words are important, mean a lot. In other words, for some people don't. One of those words is culture. One of those words is momentum. I find personally that execution is the biggest straw man argument that there is. We hear that word a lot. We hear it from the coaches. We hear it from the players. We hear it from everybody. I did a show on it about 2 months ago that I was sick and tired of hearing about the word execution. And the reason is because we get this word thrown in our faces. Well, we didn't execute. Well, they didn't execute. Well, we had the right play call, but we didn't execute. Well, they could have won that game, but they didn't execute. And execution, everything gets blamed on execution. So momentum doesn't matter because we didn't execute. Culture doesn't matter because if we had executed, culture isn't important. And it just seems to be a situation where we can just write off simple stuff or write off blame, right? Write off accountability on this word, execution. So let me give you just some quick things. So momentum. Momentum is a fun word, right? And if you're not a believer in momentum, you have not been watching the playoffs. So the Bills are up 16-0 against the Texans. J.J. Watt gets that sack. And then the next thing you know, the Texans seem to have all the momentum in the world and beat the Bills. The Buffalo Bills, Thanksgiving against the Cowboys, had all the momentum in that game. The Chiefs and the Texans, that game opens up and the Texans have all of the momentum, put 24 points on the Chiefs, the Texans do. And then all of a sudden, a couple bad calls, fourth and short, fake punt, some other things happen, the momentum completely shifts in the Chiefs' favor, and the Chiefs put 50 points on the Texans. Momentum is a psychological advantage. Momentum is, it's not about the fact that the ball is doing certain things. It's not physiological in the sense of that there's something in the physical realm that's different. Momentum is psychological. The feeling that we can't win, or the feeling that we can't lose. Whatever's going on in the game or had gone on the game doesn't matter anymore, because the confidence is to the point that it's palpable, right? The big word, the big thing about momentum is that your confidence is so high that it gives you a psychological advantage over your opponent. And the funny thing about momentum is that it's at its peak when not only you feel it, but your opponent feels it. When your opponent feels like they can't win, that's when it's at its max. So that's momentum. Culture. How many times have you heard as a Buffalo Bills fan that culture doesn't matter because of all the times that the head coaches have come in and the new regimes have come in and said, well, we're going to change the culture, folks. And nothing changed. But now we're at the point with a new organization, a new ownership, we have a new coach, we've got a new front office, we've got new staff, and culture is a big piece. For me personally, I'm a big leadership fan. I'm a student of leadership. I love leadership. I love reading about leadership. Leading people is one of my favorite things to do in this world. Seeing people get better and become the best versions of themselves for me is like nothing else. Culture is wrapped up in words like leadership, accountability. Accountability is terribly important for culture. There's books out there that talk about culture and the bus. So everybody that's on the bus, are they supposed to be on the bus, and are they sitting in the right seats on the bus? And if they're not in the right seats, get them in the right seats. And if they're not supposed to be on the bus, getting them off the bus. You've seen this organization get people off the bus, people that don't fit the culture that they want. Culture is big about men playing for each other. Looking your brother in the eye and letting them know that I've got your back, you've got my back, we're going to do this together. At the end of the day, the most important piece of culture is about expectations. Have expectations been set? We have had coaching regimes here, Rex Ryan, where they didn't set expectations. Rex Ryan was under the belief that if you got decent guys with great names on this roster and you threw them into Rex's system, that we're just going to win because my system is great and that player's great and everything's great. And that's not true. You don't set expectations for people. Then they don't know what expectation or what where the bar is set, and they don't know what to meet. Expectation is one of the biggest, most important pieces of culture. And all of that wraps up into a shell or into a ball called fit. Does the person fit? Culture is a very real thing. Culture is that thing that takes you from being down by 10 points and knowing that you're going to be able to come back. You do so and you win. Culture is that thing that keeps you from giving up. Culture is that thing, that piece that lets you know if I'm measuring up, if I'm shaping up, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, if the expectation was set before me, if I'm going to reach it or not, because I know that I'm going to be held accountable, that if I don't meet the expectation that has been set before me, I'm going to be removed from the bus. I'm going to be kicked off this bus. And the Bills have shown that. Culture is a huge thing, and culture is big to this head coach into this front office. Consistency is an interesting word. Is it important? Yes. I'm not going to tell you that consistency is not important. Anytime a player can just react and doesn't have to think and nothing changes year to year, I'm sure it's a great thing. Good words for consistency: continuity, right? Familiarity, comfortability. All those things are positives. The problem that I have with consistency is if you're not going to give me that momentum is a real thing and you're not going to give me that culture is a real thing because of execution, then I don't think that you can tell me that consistency is a real thing because of execution. And execution is that word, that straw man word that's used. Well, momentum doesn't matter, as I said earlier, because had they executed, the other team wouldn't have beaten us. Culture doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if guys like each other. It doesn't matter if these guys have expectations or are held accountable. All they've got to do is go out there and do their, if they execute, if they just execute and do their job, culture doesn't matter. And I'm going to tell you the same thing is true about consistency. We've heard a lot of people talk recently about Brian Daboll and consistency. And the reason that we've heard about it is because consistency is somehow more important with Brian Daboll and Josh Allen than anything else, because what happened to the Bills in 2019 wasn't that that Brian Daboll was bad. The problem was the players didn't execute. So therefore, consistency somehow is more important than finding an offensive coordinator who's going to fit an offense to Josh Allen's strengths, which I don't believe Brian Daboll does. But I'm here to tell you that I believe wholeheartedly that consistency gets wiped out as well if the players execute. So if a player is paid to play football and all that matters is execution and he's paid to execute and these are grown men who are trusted to execute, why would consistency matter? It wouldn't, right? Because they're paid to study, they're paid to practice, they're paid to learn the stuff that they have to learn, they're paid to go out on the field and execute. Would continuity make it easier? Sure. But if you're going to throw execution in my face for reasons that a lot of stuff doesn't matter that happens, don't tell me that consistency is important and nothing else is, because execution is what's important in every other case. The reality is even in consistency, execution matters. Because we might find out this year that we had continuity, we had consistency by keeping Brian Daboll, and somehow magically the players still aren't executing. And that's the moment that you have to begin to look deeper into this word execute. Game plans with execution are great game plans. Game plans that are executed are great game plans. You can have the best game plan in the world, and if your players don't execute it or can't execute it, guess what? That's a bad game plan. You can throw a deep ball to John Brown, who's streaking down the field, and if he catches it, you call that play and he catches it and executes it and runs for a touchdown, that's a great play call. If you call a nine route to a fullback who's double covered and it ends up being a jump ball and he can't jump, that's bad execution. But it's not bad execution in the sense of we didn't execute it right. It's bad execution in the sense of that's asking Pat DeMarco to do something that he can't do. If you've got a quarterback that does not have a strong arm and you're asking him to throw out routes, is it bad execution or is it a bad idea? If you're asking a running back to pick up blitzes and he can't because he's physically not capable, he's not studied up, he's not ready to do it, he's not able to physically pick up a blitz, is the player not good enough? Or is it just because he didn't execute? So I'm here to tell you that all of these words matter. I'm not saying that execution doesn't matter. Execution is extremely important. But execution does not go against momentum, does not go against culture, does not go against consistency. All four of them have to work together, right? So that's pretty much what I've got for you today. If I had to give you a couple things that I'm overreacting to, and I'm a little bit angry at the moment, just talking about words, which is silly. But if I had to give you something that I'm overreacting to, it's this. I don't know about you guys, and overreaction can mean two different things for this show going forward. Just so you know, it's things we're overreacting currently to. And as it pertains to what's going on, I'm really excited about this. I'm really concerned about that. Overreaction can also mean for me things that I'm done reacting to. So I probably need to preface that. And I know there's a lot of new people hopefully still listening. This is what I'm about to give you is the I'm done thinking about that. I'm done reacting to that. I'm done talking about it. The thing that I'm overreacting to tonight is this. I am sick and tired of being told that this offensive line was not together enough or has not been together long enough to have gelled and execute a game plan. I'm sick and tired of being told that somehow 4 weeks, however long camp was, four preseason games, 16 regular season games, and by week one of the playoffs, this offensive line still hasn't played football enough together to have gelled properly. Well, how long does it take exactly for an offensive line to gel? Because outside of Ty Nsekhe and Cody Ford rotating back and forth, and then Nsekhe getting injured and Cody Ford staying in at right tackle, they've been pretty consistently together since the beginning of training camp. Yes, I know Morris was hurt for a couple weeks. He had the concussion. They did not rush him back. But if I'm over anything, I'm done talking about that. I'm just, don't talk to me about this offensive line and how they, at some point in time, they just weren't, not some point in time. There was many times this year they just weren't good enough. In the Texans game, they weren't good enough. There's a couple plays at the top of my head that I can think of that they especially were not good enough in. So if you want to chalk it up to execution in the sense of they didn't execute the play, or their block, or you want to chalk it up to execution, they're just not good enough to execute it? Well, I guess that's a question for Brian Daboll and this head coach, who is going to apparently bring Brian Daboll back at this point from what we know. There's going to be consistency and there's going to be continuity, which means next year, Josh Allen is either going to take that next step and become the quarterback that we all want him to be, hope he can be, desire him to be, or Brian Daboll is going to continue putting him in positions, in my opinion, where not only Josh can't execute the play because he's not capable yet, or the team around him can't execute the plays because they're not capable of doing it. That's what we're going to find out in about 7 months. We got a long offseason ahead of us. I'm so excited and thankful that you guys are with me. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the Overreaction Sports Podcast. I am, of course, your host, Joe Miller. I got a lot of cool things lined up for the offseason. I've got some special guests I want to have come in. We're going to talk draft. We're going to talk, obviously, free agency. We're going to talk NFL player movement and how the AFC East is going to shape up. Clearly, we're going to be finding some things out about Tom Brady soon and what's going on with the Patriots. But for right now, I just want to thank you guys. I want to thank Buffalo Fanatics for having me. I'm really looking forward to the 2020 season. I'm really excited to see what Josh Allen is going to become. I'm really hesitant to see what Brian Daboll is going to do. I feel like the man doesn't have a flow bone in his body. The dude couldn't find rhythm if he had a drum beat next to him. We're going to find out. We're going to find out as a family. We're going to find out as a fan base. We're going to find out as believers in this football team. But guys, I just want to say again, thank you. I appreciate you tuning in. I'll be back at you very soon. We'll talk at you soon. I'm not exactly sure when, maybe next week, maybe the week after. It's the off season after all. Enjoy the playoffs. Enjoy the NFL. The Super Bowl's coming. I'm expecting it to be exciting. I hope it's going to be good. In the meantime, go Bills.
My Wrangler jeans from Walmart are legit my favorite go-to pants. They got that slim cut that's always fresh for going out.
Hey, what's up?
They're durable enough, even for my shift.
Water wrap.
And stretchy enough for when I want to kick back and chill with a movie. So basically, they can do it all, and on my budget. I mean, come on. You really can't beat all that. Shop your Wrangler pants at Walmart.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit HighFiveCasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.